The meeting of the Select Subcommittee on Authorized Gaming Activity is called to order. Members, please take your seats and silence all electronic devices. Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stevenson?
Here.
Ranking Member Davis?
Here.
Representatives Bartleman?
Here.
Bouchard of Cabrera?
Here.
Chaney?
Here.
Daly?
Here.
Gia Lombardo?
Here.
Harding?
Here.
Hart?
Here.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Maney?
Here.
McLean?
Here.
Roth?
Here.
Saroy?
Here.
Skidmore?
Here.
Tuck?
Here.
Valdez?
Present.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
All right, let the record reflect that a quorum is present. Members and guests, welcome to the Monday matinee. We'll feature three live bill presentations. All are available live and through simulcast. We'll start out with House Bill 9A by the representative from Polk City. Representative Tomko, you are recognized to present House Bill 9A, Fantasy Sports Contests.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 9A, Fantasy Sport Contest. The bill creates the Fantasy Sport Contest Act, which outlines a regulatory structure for fantasy sports contests in the state. The bill requires a contest operator of a fantasy sports contest to obtain a license from the Division of Paramutual Wagering at the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. And that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Members, do you have any questions for the sponsor on House Bill 9A? Questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, are there any amendments? We have one amendment by a representative from Polk City. You're recognized to explain Amendment 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment clarifies that all corporate officers and directors must be identified in a license application, not just those with at least 15% equity share.
Questions? Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, is there public testimony? No public testimony. Debate? Seeing no debate. Let's show that amendment adopted unless anyone objects. Show it done. Amendment 2 by a representative from Polk City, you're recognized to explain Amendment 2.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This clarifies that required audits must be conducted annually.
Questions? Public testimony? Debate? Seeing no debate, you're welcome to close.
Wave close.
Show that amendment adopted with no objection. Third amendment by a representative from Polk City, you're welcome to explain Amendment 3.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Final amendment. It removes a provision that was duplicated.
Questions on the technical amendment? Seeing none, no public testimony. Nobody's going to debate that, so let's show that done without objection. We're back on the amended version of the bill. Is there any public testimony on the 9A bill? Scott Ward, DraftKings and FanDuel. Mr. Scott Ward, are you here? Mr. Scott Ward, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Scott Ward. I'm with the Warwick, Harrington, and Sutcliffe, here today as National Public Policy Kings. National Public Policy Council were both DraftKings and FanDuel. They're the two largest fantasy sports companies operating in the United States. Between the two of them, they have more than two decades of experience offering paid fantasy sports. And we estimate that about 3 million Floridians, play fantasy sports today. Unfortunately, I do have to rise in opposition to the bill. We are working with the sponsor and hope to make many of these changes, and I would like to talk about why some of these changes are so important. Frankly, without some of these changes, we do think that those 3 million Floridians would be disenfranchised from playing fantasy sports if this bill were to pass in its current form. First and foremost, the definition of fantasy sports includes a unique provision related to a limitation on the number of athletes that you can use on your fantasy team, as well as the number of games. 24 states so far across the United States have passed fantasy sports regulation bills. Zero of those bills have this provision in it. There are, as the industry has evolved, people get more innovative and do different things. There are single game fantasy sports. There's single quarter fantasy sports. There's all sorts of ways that people enjoy playing fantasy sports. This provision would probably knock out, I'm estimating here, probably 60 to 70% of the types of contests that are currently offered in the state of Florida, if you had this provision in this bill. We would like to see that deleted. The second provision that we'd like to see added is a grandfather clause for companies that are currently operating. As I said, we are operating here in the state today with 3 million folks in Florida playing. And if the bill passes, it requires regulation writing, licensure application, licensure approval, background checks, all those things. We would have to leave the state when that happened. So we would be, the bill would pass, everybody would have to leave the state, wait for the regs to write, wait to get licensed, and then come back in. You're talking about a period of maybe a year or more when our customers would not be able to play fantasy sports in the state. Other states that have done this simply have written into the bill the ability for the currently operating companies to operate during that process. They would be required to apply for a license, and of course, if they didn't get the license, they would have to be removed from the state. But that allows the customer to have a seamless experience and enjoy the consumer protections that you want them to have. Third, the bill would outlaw college sports related to fantasy. We do offer college sports currently in the state. It's a popular product, not as popular as professional sports, of course, but it is something that many people play. I would say in the hundreds of thousands are playing college fantasy sports. I do think it's ironic that the other bills being offered on sports betting allow you to bet on college sports, but this bill would not allow you to have fantasy sports on college sports. We'd like to see that removed. A couple of other small things. There's a provision that would require you to limit the number of entries into a game. While there are certainly lots of contests where you have what's called single entry limits, meaning only you can only enter one team, there's many of them, and frankly, the biggest contests you will see advertised, the $1 million prize pools and those sorts of things, allow you to have multiple entries or unlimited entries. Most states on this provision simply say that you have to disclose the number of entries required, and that's what we do. It's very transparent. People understand what they're doing. They want to enter those big contests because that's where you get the biggest prizes. If you're required to limit, Floridians wouldn't be allowed to enter those big contests. And then finally, on the age requirement, it has a fantasy sports participation age of 21 in this bill. Most states, it's 18. Frankly, 21 is a vestige of sports betting, which occurred in a casino where they served alcohol. That's why it's 21. Fantasy sports is played on your phone, in your house. There's no alcohol involved. Most 18 to 20-year-olds are playing in Florida now. Again, we estimate in the hundreds of thousands of those folks are playing that. These people would not be allowed to continue to do something they love if the age is 21 and not 18. We are pleased to be working with the sponsor, and we do hope that many of these changes are made. Unfortunately, we are opposed at the moment, but happy to answer questions.
Okay, members, are there any questions for the representative from DraftKings? Anyone have any questions they'd like to ask? Seeing none, thank you, sir,
thank
for
you,
being
Chairman.
Here. Is there any other additional public testimony? Seeing none. Debate. Debate on the bill. Seeing no debate. Representative Tomko, you're certainly welcome to close.
I would like to waive close, Chair.
Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Representatives Bartleman?
No.
Busada Cabrera?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
No.
Davis?
No.
Gia Lombardo?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Hart?
No.
Killebrew?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
No.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
No.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
The bill passes 12 yeas, 6 nays.
Representative Tomko, looks like you covered the spread. Show the bill passes. All right, so Representative Tomko is going to press, and we're going to offer up House Bill 11A. You're welcome to recognize, or you're recognized to present House Bill 11A.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I promise I will be quick. This bill requires an applicant for a license as a contest operator to pay an initial license application fee of $1 million to the division, and an applicant seeking to renew a contest operator license must pay an annual license renewal fee of $250,000. This bill also requires every contest operator to pay a monthly operating fee to the division by the 20th day of each month, and the monthly operating fee is equal to a dollar per contestant participant who paid an entry fee to the contest operator during the previous calendar month, and that is the bill.
Okay, members, any questions on the linked bill? Probably not, seeing none. There is an amendment. Go ahead and explain Amendment 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment makes a conforming technical change and makes the bill effective contingent upon the adoption of the previous bill we just heard.
Questions? Seeing none. Public testimony? None. Debate? Let's show that adopted without objection. Back on the bill as amended, is there any public testimony on the bill as amended? Anybody raise your hand?
No.
Seeing none. Okay, debate. Members choosing to debate, seeing none, you're welcome to close. Having waste close, Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Representatives Bartleman?
No.
Busada Cabrera?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly? Daly? Davis?
No.
Giolombardo?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Hart?
No.
Killebrew?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
No.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Stevenson? Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
No.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
The bill passes 12 yeas, 5 nays.
Congratulations, Representative Tomko, on hitting the quinella. So let's bring up House Bill 11A.
Nope, 7A.
Oh, I'm sorry, 7A. We're not going to reconsider that. So let's do 7A by a representative from Clearwater.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. This bill amends Florida's pari-mutuel wagering, slot machines, and gambling laws as follows. Codifies the prohibition of greyhound racing, which voters passed, and updates certain provisions in Florida law that are inconsistent with such prohibition. Removes requirements for greyhound permit holders, highline permit holders, and harness horse permit holders to conduct live racing or games. Retains live racing requirements for thoroughbred permit holders, limited thoroughbred permit holders, and limited intertrack wagering license permit holders. Provides that in order to renew a card room license, a thoroughbred permit holder must conduct the minimum number of live racing performances required under current law. Provides the conversion of certain permits, removes the prohibition of thoroughbred permit holders from allowing racing after 7 p.m., clarifies and strengthens provisions prohibiting illegal gambling. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, having explained House Bill 7A, are there any questions on 7A? No, yeah, we got Representative. Oh, we got a representative from Weston. You're recognized.
Yes, you remembered that. Good. Good job, Representative Chair Drake. I have a couple of questions about the portability. It says that slots have to stay where the license is issued, but doesn't that language contradict what's in the compact to some degree?
Representative from Pinellas County, you're recognized.
You are correct that they do have to stay where they're at, and I do not believe that it would conflict with the compact.
Okay. Can I? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can
you
I follow up?
You want to double down?
Yeah, I just want to double down.
You're recognized. I'm full of them. I got them all today.
So then, explain to me how the portability is going to work, because that seems to be an issue of great discussion for everyone.
Representative from Clearwater.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. The portability would have to be within the same county, so they can't move outside the county that they're currently in.
You're recognized.
Thank you. So they can go as long as they're within the county, but what about the mile radius within the compact? They
You're
have
recognized.
To stay within?
That's a, thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's a different issue that you're referring to, Representative Bartleman, that is not considered in this bill.
Okay, and one more, sir?
Additional questions? You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So one of my concerns is that decoupling could, this doesn't have to, we wouldn't have to handle this business now. This is something that could be handled in next legislative session, correct? Because I feel very rushed with this. So can you, is this something that has to be handled now for the compact, or is it something that can be where we would have more time to discuss the unintended consequences of this?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, we certainly are here in special session for gaming. So I think that, now's the correct time to take up gaming bills. So this fits within the call of that. But also, I want to mention that some of your concerns may be addressed in forthcoming amendments.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Unless you would like to wait till next session to address them. Right. Okay, additional questions for Representative from Jacksonville, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for the general public, and because this is such a complex issue, we are talking about decoupling, right? And so to the bill sponsor, could you talk to us a little bit about what decoupling is, just for our general public, and then talk to us, second part of that, talk to us about why some of our, I guess, permit holders, such as the harness, horse racing, Jayhala permit holders, and the Greyhound permit holders, as well as the Quarterhouse permit holders, will be able to discontinue live racing. I know that was a lot.
Sure.
Representative from Clearwater, explain decoupling and Jayhala.
So decoupling is basically saying that a facility does not have to perform these races. They certainly can if they want to, but they do not have to. So we're not mandating that they discontinue these races. If these races are very profitable, which some of them are, they certainly can continue doing that. And a couple of years ago, the voters in Florida outlawed Greyhound racing. And so this just codifies in law that we're no longer having Greyhound racing, which the voters already spoke to that. And Greyhound racing is no more in Florida. And so this basically decouples everything except for thoroughbred racing.
You recognize.
And forgive me, it was highlight. And so with that, and thank you for that answer, talk to us about the reason the thoroughbred permit holders are still in the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for that question. I am a big baseball fan, Representative Davis, but the thoroughbred industry in Florida has a larger fiscal impact to our state and an economic impact to our state than spring training does. There's over 20,000 jobs directly and indirectly in Florida associated to the thoroughbred industry. The most recent Kentucky Derby winner is a Floridian, and hopefully that Derby winner will stay the Derby winner. I've learned a lot about the thoroughbred and horse racing industry that by virtue of doing this bill, and 15% or so of thoroughbreds or fowls or foals in America are born in Florida. And those that aren't born in Florida, oftentimes right after they get born, and for some reason a lot of them get born in January because that's the time for them to be bred, get moved to Florida in Marion County and Representative Hardy's district and McLean's district. But they were considered basically like the spring training home of horse breeding and racing and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of these prized horses are trained in Florida. So it's a big-time industry that brings tens of thousands of jobs. Like I said, over 20,000 jobs are connected to our thoroughbred industry.
Additional questions? You're recognized.
Thank you, but I don't want to take up the time from everyone else.
We're here till 7:30.
We're not going to be here till 7:30. So your bill is addressing gaming. So my question to you, for just folks wanting to pay attention to us today, would you consider everything that you've stated an expansion? Would you consider this bill being an expansion of gambling?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, ma'am. And we're actually getting rid of some permits, some dormant permits. So we're actually decreasing gaming in Florida.
Thank you.
So I would urge your support for our decrease of gaming in Florida bill.
As long as we can talk about compulsive gambling behaviors.
Okay, additional questions? Oh, Representative from Weston, you're recognized.
Yes, thank you, Chair. That goes to the question I had. In 2021, 10 permit holders were not issued operating license. And I'm assuming that's because two of them were Greyhound, two were Hi-Li, one was Thoroughbred, and five were Quarter Horses, which there isn't a lot of industry for, but they're all over from Jefferson County, Marion County, Volusia. So what's going, now these permit holders, because you're decoupling, they can now open up their and have the card rooms, is that correct? Or because they have it. I don't know why they were denied it before or why they didn't do it before. So can you explain to me why they weren't doing it? Did it have to do with the live performances, or I'll let you go ahead.
Representative from Pinellas, you're recognized.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. If they did not, and thank you, Representative Bartleman, if they did not have a operating license in 2020-2021 fiscal year, they would not be eligible to continue.
Chair?
Yes, ma'am. You recognize.
So thank you, Chair. So these 10 permit holders, they're out of the game, basically, for the rest of, well, at least the next 30 years, correct? Is that what you're saying?
Representative Clearwater, you recognize.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. Yes, ma'am, that is correct, except for in one instance in Ocala.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Representative from Tampa, you're recognized.
Thank you, sir. I was just wondering, are there any constitutionality issues with this particular bill, the 7A?
Representative from Bradenton.
I thought I would pop up a little bit as a substitute teacher here, but thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Representative, for that question. No, we believe this bill is fully constitutional and stand on its face by its great constitutional principles.
Anyone else? Seeing none. Okay, there is an amendment by Representative from Clearwater. You want to explain Amendment 1?
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. This is a technical amendment revising the description of valid permits to include those held by limited thoroughbred permit holders.
Okay, members, are there any questions on the technical amendment? Seeing none, no public testimony, no debate. He's going to waive close, so let's adopt that without objection. Amendment 2 by Representative Cheney, Representative from St. Pete Beach.
St. Pete Beach. Thank
you,
Mr.
Recognized.
Chair. Yes, Amendment 2 allows municipalities to prohibit parimutuel wagering in its jurisdiction.
Members, are there any questions? Representative from West Palm Beach, you're recognized.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chair. This amendment is only going forward, and also, is this considered to be a friendly amendment?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, this is just going forward, Representative Roth, and yes, this is a friendly amendment.
Questions? Representative from Jacksonville, you have a question?
No.
Representative from Weston.
Thank you. Representative Cheney, I just want to make sure I understand the amendment. So if I have a card room and I was a Greyhound track, and now I, because I'm decoupled, I want to move to a smaller facility, but it may be outside my city limits, you're saying the other city can deny it based on whatever gaming rules they have within the city?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair is right. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Questions? 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 See no more questions? Okay. Public testimony on the Cheney Amendment? Seeing none. Debate? You're welcome to close. Let's show that adopted without objection. Okay. Amendment 3 by Representative from St. Pete Beach. Explain Amendment 3.
Amendment 3 allows municipalities to prohibit the establishment and operation of a card room within its jurisdiction.
Questions on the third amendment? Seeing no questions, no public participation. Oh, question. Representative from West Palm Beach, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. So, again, the same question. This is a friendly amendment, and it does not... It does not give municipalities the right to prohibit a current car room, but just those going forward.
Representative from Pinellas County.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's correct, Rep. Roth.
Debate. Any debates? Debate? No debate? On the amendment. Amendment 3 by the representative from St. Pete Beach. No debate? Okay, let's... Show that adopted without objection, having waived her close. So let's roll to Amendment 4 by Representative Davis. Representative from Jacksonville, you can explain Amendment 4. Do we have a barcode?
Yeah, I just... Mm-mm, I don't. 206 or 7.
We're going to find out. Members, we're going to stand in informal recess for just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Okay, Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Go. Chair Drake?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stevenson?
Here.
Where's Dan Davis?
Ranking Member Davis?
Here.
Representatives Bartleman?
Here.
Busata Cabrera?
Here.
Cheney?
Here.
Daly?
Here.
Gia Lombardo?
Here.
Harding? Harding? Hart?
Yes, here.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Maney?
Here.
McLean?
Here.
Roth?
Here.
Surroy?
Here.
Skidmore?
Here.
Tuck?
Here.
Valdez?
Present.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, members. That gave me time to read Amendment 4. Representative Davis, I have identified that there is a new tax or fee that is being introduced into the bill via your amendment number 4, and I believe 5 as well. Article 7, Section 19E of the Constitution requires any state tax or fee that is imposed, authorized, or raised to be contained in a separate bill that contains no other subject. The amendment contains language that would violate this section of the Constitution and is therefore not in order. Would you, so Amendment 4 is ruled out of order. Would you like to withdraw Amendment 4? Okay, reluctantly, Representative from Jacksonville will withdraw Amendment 4. Representative from Jacksonville, would you like to reluctantly withdraw Amendment 5 as well? Okay, so just so we make sure we get our parliamentary correct, we're going to let you introduce Amendment 5. Let's introduce, we're going to back up.
Okay.
Let's go to Amendment 4 if you'd like to introduce Amendment 4.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chair. The Gambling Prevention Program statute has not been updated or changed since its creation in 2005. The funds to promote the 888 admitted hotline cannot be used outside of Dade or Broward counties. The .003 that the amendment is asking for is below or in line with all other gaming states. And if the sports betting and fantasy sports wagering will be available statewide, then the helpline should be promoted as a statewide as statewide as well. And so what the amendment proposed to do was to remove the reference to annual contribution to the gambling prevention program to be specifically for slots machines, racinos, paramutuals that are located in Dade and Broward counties, and instead allow all the funds contributed to the prevention program to be used statewide. That's the first thing. And the second thing that the amendment attempted to do was to include all the participations of all the paramutuals in the gambling prevention program based upon a small percentage of their annual reported gross revenue of 0.3003, and that would also shift the administration of the gambling prevention program to the new proposed gaming commission. And that was the amendment, Chair.
So amendment for Representative Davis, while I agree with you on the policy, I believe that it does violate the Constitution. So if you would like to introduce that as a bill next year, I'd certainly like to work with you and try to make that favorable. But at this time, would you like to withdraw Amendment 4?
With that being said, Chair, that we can work on this next year, okay. Yes, I would.
Let's do that. Let's show that done. Would you like to introduce Amendment 5?
I would. Thank you, Chair, for that allowance. Amendment 5, again, the gambling prevention program, the statute for the racinos, has not been updated since, again, 2005. And the annual participation and support of the 888 number, the helpline, will not change, only the calculation of the contribution based on the annual reported revenues. This amendment simply would take those 8 racinos in Dade and Broward counties by simply switching the current fixed amount of their annual contribution, which is $250,000, to the gambling prevention program to a much fairer way of contributing based upon a small percentage of their annual reported gross revenues of 0.003.
So in an interest to work on this at a future date, would you like to withdraw this at this time?
A future date being like this week?
At some point in the future.
Yes, I'll withdraw it.
Okay, let's withdraw Amendment 5. Okay, we're back on the bill as amended. Is there any public testimony on the perfected version? Ms. Lauren Jackson, representing the Florida Standard Breeders and Owners Association. Ms. Jackson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Lauren Jackson, representing the Florida Standard Bred Breeders and Owners Association. We are respectfully opposed to this bill because it does decouple harness racing. We want to thank the chair. We want to thank the bill sponsor, the committee members, everyone who's taken the time to speak with us and meet with us so far. We look forward to continue working with you throughout this process. Just briefly, because I know some of you have heard these comments before, but harness racing, which is also known as standard bred racing, has been in the state of Florida for over 50 years. We might not have the same footprint that thoroughbred racing does, but we are by no means non-existent. There are 62, there is one permit holder in the state of Florida, and that's the Isle Casino in Pompano Park. And that is the one permit holder. However, there are 62 farms, there are 7 training facilities, there are 5,000 Floridians who are directly employed by the industry. That's the trainers, the drivers, the owners and breeders. There are thousands more Floridians that rely on income indirectly from the industry. That's the supply shop owners, the truckers, the groomsmen, veterinarians, et cetera. And we're also not, Florida standard bred racing is by no means a dying industry right now. Our last season that just concluded, it was a limited season. It was a shortened schedule because of COVID-19. We had limited resources, but we still broke several records. We broke the record for single night handle. We broke multiple records for single night handle. We broke the record for number of nights with a handle above $1 million. We broke the record for average per night handle. And we broke the record for it was the greatest handle ever wagered, which was $81.5 million over 105 racing days versus our last record, which was $60 million over 120 racing days. So that was just this most recently concluded season. Because there's only one permit holder, if they are allowed to decouple, then the industry has nowhere else to go in the state of Florida without the need for additional significant resources to relocate or whatever they would need to continue. There's currently a legal challenge. The Florida Standard Bred Breeders and Owners Association has a pending court case that's under appeal in the 4th DCA, and we have been in ongoing settlement negotiations with the Isle Casino. Before this legislation was filed in the regular legislative session, we were very, very close to reaching a settlement agreement. And then when this legislation was filed, it threw those negotiations into jeopardy, and it upset the balance of power in those negotiations. So we're asking the legislature to please consider those Florida families. They are multi-generational Floridians who are hardworking, and we just really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for working with us, and we look forward to continue working with you. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
Questions for Ms. Jackson. Representative from Winter Haven, you're recognized.
That's in Pearl Pool County, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question. If a card room, et cetera, that is attached to harness racing, if the harness racing was making them money, do you think they would continue to race if they were making money with it?
I think it's a little more complicated of an issue because the racetrack itself is profitable land that they might feel like if they made a mixed use development of that land that might be a more profitable way to go forward. So as a business decision with a company that may or may not have ties to the community, they may not be weighing keeping the industry alive and operating. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, but I would think that yes, they would continue something if it is profitable.
So another one more question, please.
Representative from Imperial Polk County.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if you're a business and you've got a portion of your business that's not making you any money, you would want to get rid of it. It probably the same in your business, that if a portion of your business was not profitable, you wouldn't want to keep it on. That'd be a fair assessment?
That would be a fair assessment. However, I would say that the one business doesn't exist but for the existence of the other industry. So the paramutuals would not exist if it was not for the racing industry that came before it. And I think that kind of changes the dynamic a little bit as well. And because of the way that this has been set up from 2004, if the coupling were to go through and you can say, well, hey, this isn't making me any money, in order to relocate, in order to be made whole, in order to continue to get a new permit and continue to operate, then they're going to need significant resources. And that gets the paramutual out of any obligation to help with that. And so they have no ties or obligation. They can just say, this isn't making us any money anymore. This can go away. And as a result, the entire industry would go away.
Thank you. Representative from Coral Springs, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Jackson, question, because you mentioned the land use value of the land, of the property, the only harness track in Florida. Are you aware, am I accurate in stating that the owners of that property have actually already filed a planning and zoning application to rezone and redevelop that property without a racetrack, even though the Harness Horsemen had a record-setting season this last season?
I believe that's correct. I'm not exactly sure where they are with that amendment, but I do know that those plans have been proposed.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Additional questions from Representative from Broward County? No questions? Any additional questions? Seeing none, thank you, Ms. Jackson. Okay, next we have Richard Pinsky representing the Florida Council on Compulsive Gambling.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Richard Pinsky on behalf of the Florida Council on Compulsive Gambling. Thank you to Representative Davis for proposing the two amendments a moment ago. And Mr. Chairman, I understand the technicality. I think we've turned the issue of addressing the impacts of compulsive gambling and addictive behavior, which is a disorder, into a long shot, to use your context, Mr. Chair. We could leave here this week, and I would certainly bet, because I know you and I've known you for a long time, I would bet on your word when you say you want to address that. However, there is an opportunity this week. And if there is a way that we can address the impacts of the compulsive gambling hotline that is only allowed to operate in Dade and Broward right now, it certainly would be a good thing for all Floridians. We don't take a position pro or against gaming in any way. Mr. Pinsky,
can you bring the mic down?
Maybe
it'll project a little bit better so that...
How's that?
Here in the back. That's perfect.
Let's step back.
You're welcome to start over if you'd like to.
No, sir. I would not do that to you or to any member here. Although we do have till 7:30, I think you said. I thought most people knew about the 888 admitted helpline. In fact, I was speaking to a member today that said, no, I've never heard of it. Well, it's because it's only the monies that are collected currently in statute that what we call racinos in Dade and Broward, that money by contract and by statute has to stay in Dade and Broward County. So while the 26 other parimutuels in the state of Florida are not contributing currently, however, as we're about to introduce new opportunities for those 26 parimutuels, no one will have that same ability to reach out for help unless we do something, hopefully, this week. So while I appreciate the point, fees and taxes, they're in the eye of the beholder. I mean, the all 8 or 9 bills that we're doing this week that you all are facing is replete with taxes, fees, new revenues. I mean, other than the fantasy sports bill, 11A that you had earlier, 11B, the traveling bill, there is ways to do it. First of all, on the 8 racinos, Amendment 5 that you considered, that was not even a change in fees in terms of something new. It's a current statute that currently exists. It would use the same index that would basically stay at $250,000. So I would respectfully disagree. However, again, I understand the will of the committee that may want to do something, but you're constrained by the process. So all I would ask you before you leave here this week to express your will to the leadership both in the House, I'm making the same plea to the leadership in the Senate. Don't leave here by ignoring the impact upon society and the residents of Florida. When I could show you the actual transcripts, it would wrench your heart to see folks that reach out. The younger demographic, that's exactly who does the sports wagering and fantasy sports, college students and those under 30. And they're also the most at-risk group. So we're about to begin something in the state of Florida that if you're in Pensacola or you're in Ebro, Florida, you may never know that there's an ability to reach out and get some counseling and help. And that, members, Chairman, I would respectfully ask you to please not leave here this week without addressing. Thank you very much.
Representative from West Palm Beach, you're recognized.
Yes, I wanted to ask, thank you, Chair. I wanted to ask Mr. Pinsky a question. So we're talking about expanding opportunities for paramutuals and for paramutuals to be able to offer, you know, to be able to work with the Seminole Indian tribe and obviously increase their revenues. Could you give us a little feeling for how the 888 hotline is doing financially? Have they been able to provide, you know, the services needed just for 2 counties, and now we're talking about, you know, multiple counties, you know, doing more card games and that. Could you speak to that a little bit, please?
Thank you. Thank you, Representative, for the question. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity. First of all, let me say this. The Seminole Indian Tribe are good actors. They were doing it voluntarily, contributing to the Florida Council on Compulsive Gambling throughout the 90s before they had to. Governor Jeb Bush made sure that voluntarily the lottery contributed as well. So when the state of Florida increased its expansion into slot machines in 2005, that's when they said, okay, we need to start dedicating money to it. Unfortunately, that statute, 550135, where the money goes, that same statute allows the money to be swept. So since 2005, we've never received, we're supposed to be getting $250,000 for eight. That would be $2 million annually. We've never gotten more than $1.25 million. We've gone during the recession, we've gone as low as $257,000. And I will tell you that trying to handle, we answer every call live. We don't let any call go to an answering machine. So that means we have to add additional people, the costs go up, and when you are being subject to a sweep, it is unpredictable on what you're going to do. The notion that as early as next January, statewide folks could be accessing the phone number, and how will they know? It's printed on the back of every lottery ticket. So the notion that we are going to be inundated with new calls from all over the state of Florida without any additional help is scary at best. Thank you.
Representative from Winter Haven, do you have a question?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. But roughly, I know about it, but I don't know anything about roughly annually, how many calls do y'all receive, you know, from the area that you operate with?
So we try to get, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We tried to segment it by Dade and Broward, and that would be literally thousands of calls every year. However, we start going up over 10,000 calls a year because the 888 admitted phone numbers on the back of the lottery. Anywhere between three and four phone calls have to do with the lottery. And shockingly, a certain percentage of that is 13-year-olds to 17-year-olds. How they get a ticket, I do not know, but they are a very vulnerable group. So this would increase the volume, obviously.
Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, Mr. Pinsky. Okay, we have Mike Rogers representing Gulfstream Park. Traveling all the way from Hallandale. Thank you for being here. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, committee members. My name is Mike Rogers. I'm the president of the Stronach Group's Racing Division. I'm here representing Gulfstream Park, and I just want to speak on the bill and the effects that we'll have on our business. By allowing all of the other paramutuals to decouple, but not allowing Gulfstream Park that same opportunity, puts us at a significant competitive disadvantage. And how that is that our casino is in the vicinity of all the other paramutuals, and for them to shed their paramutual activity and give them the extra money available now to compete against us, they will use free play, marketing dollars, capital investments to seriously affect our casino. Our casino is there to support live racing. We've invested millions of dollars in our facility, and allowing them to decouple and not us will put us at a significant competitive disadvantage. So I'm here just asking us, this committee, to just treat us the same. If it is the desire of this committee to decouple paramutuals, then please let us decouple as well and let us make the choices of our business accordingly. I know there's some confusion. There are three stakeholders that represent our industry. There is the breeders, who are generally in the Ocala area. There's the horsemen's, which is the trainers and the owners. And there's us, the permit holder. When a race is run, 20% is taken out, and that money is now divided amongst those three stakeholders. The breeders represent 5% of that, and clearly they're the ones that want us to stay coupled. The horsemen and us share the balance of that 95%. And they understand that this type of environment would seriously affect our business. So again, I'm just asking this committee to just treat us like everyone else. If it is the desire to decouple, just please treat us the same and decouple us as well. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, we have Lonnie Powell, representing the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. Traveling up here from Ocala. Thank you for being here, Mr. Powell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Mr. Rogers and I just follow each other back and forth. We agree on so many of the issues, but as you'll find, we have a little different take on this one. You heard from us along the way, the Florida Thoroughbred breeding and racing business is big business to the state of Florida. And what makes the Thoroughbred business a little different than most in the gaming space is the scope and the size of our industry, the diversity of jobs. Obviously, especially from our end, you heard Mr. Rogers refer to the breeders. We are the agricultural entity that produces those horses, many of which, by the way, even during the championship meet that's open to out-of-town, out-of-state horses, we still win a third of the races there at Gulfstream, even during the toughest time of the year, and we win much more than that over a year-round basis. So we're proud of our Florida breds and how they do at Gulfstream, and we're glad to play our part in that infrastructure, and we relish and share in their success. We are an industry that's worth $2.7 billion in annual economic impact to this state. That's bigger than baseball spring training. We are a very big part of those 23,000-plus jobs. We are a top three breeding industry in North America, top four thoroughbred racing jurisdiction, and one in four horses in Florida, which is the third most populous state of horses in the country, one in four is a thoroughbred. We're a leader in agricultural exports through our two-year-olds. Our Florida Thoroughbred two-year-olds are some of the most highly sought-after horses in the world, and our sales that offer those horses are some of the most highly attended. We also, through our racetracks, they have a very successful and lucrative simulcast signal basis based on their live racing, which they sell to advanced deposit wagering companies and simulcast outlets all over the country and all over the world. None of that could happen without live racing, and not just a little bit of live racing, with a rigorous schedule of live racing. And that's why, you know, I think it's very important that we thank you. We were over at the Senate thanking them. We thank everybody involved who has recognized the importance of the thoroughbred industry to the state of Florida and the importance of live racing to constitute such an industry and making it possible. Without that live racing, it would not happen. Now, as you already heard just from previous speaker, a good friend of mine, some of our Florida industry partners don't necessarily agree with us on how to get from point A to B during this time of gaming modernization or expansion. But we do agree on a couple things. Live racing is extremely important to the thoroughbred industry. Without it, there's nothing else you could base the industry on. And second of all, our two tracks are essential to the success of our overall industry. No one piece of our industry, the horsemen, the breeders, or the tracks, can be successful if any of them are not competing and succeeding. So we do agree on that. Accordingly, we will and we do advocate for justifiable and economic incentives and awards for our live racetracks. We understand very clearly that those aren't going to be possible now, but that is going to be a conversation we will have at the future session. Because their economic models are different, as you heard from Mr. Rogers. They pay purses, they pay awards, they invest in the facilities. And also because they're such an important part and good partners in our industry, we ourselves are going to continue to advocate for those type of programs that reflect their significant investments in our industry. Now, as we understand that that's not going to be possible during this special session, what I can pledge to you is that on behalf of my association, we will be back. It's hard to believe committees will start in September, but we will be back. We will be back, hopefully part of a large coalition with lots of collaboration, maybe a partial coalition with partial collaboration, or even if we have to, by ourselves, to advocate for benefits for these racetracks that reflect the difference in their economic models, as well as their significant investment in our industry. They're good people, they're good partners. It's just on this one item, we do disagree. I want to thank you for your time and your attention, and mostly want to thank you for your recognition of our industry and its importance to the state economy, as well as to the importance of live racing, robust live racing, in order to keep our industry in the successful place that it is today. Thank you.
Any questions? Seeing none. Thank you, sir. Is that it with public testimony? Okay, seeing no additional public testimony, it's time for debate. Would anyone like to debate on the bill? Representative from Williston, you're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And along with my colleague, Representative McLean, I have the privilege of serving parts of Marion County where a lot of the thoroughbred industry exists in Florida. And just want to touch on a couple things briefly. But first, I want to thank the bill sponsor and the effort, especially in the sections that clarify the permit that's been in question, the nonprofit permit in Marion County. We appreciate the effort and the clarity, I think, that was provided there. But overall, we talked about the economic impact of thoroughbred horses in Florida, but just want to briefly indulge you about Marion County. We've got over 35,000 thoroughbred horses in Marion County, 431 thoroughbred farms and training centers. That's out of 600 in the state. Over 70,000 acres dedicated to the industry. So obviously it's important, not just to the overall state, but very important to the center of the state. And I appreciate the effort that's been made to preserve thoroughbred racing and not decouple thoroughbred racing. So I appreciate all the efforts that have been made. It's good for the state of Florida, and it's good for the horse capital of the world. And I appreciate the effort. I would join some of my colleagues' concern on the harness racing. And I think that issue hopefully is looked at in the next committee stop. But I want to thank everyone and appreciate you for running this bill, Chair Lightbauer.
Representative from Coral Springs, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'll try to be brief, but I think many of you know that this is extremely personal to me. If you don't know by now, check your email. I'm the son of a standardbred horseman. I grew up with these folks. I grew up in that industry. There were no weekends. There were no vacations. It was at the barn shoveling horse manure. These folks are not political. They don't have campaign war chests. They don't have millions of dollars to hire lobbyists and experts to come up here and donate to campaign after campaign. Heck, they've had the same lobbyist for 10 years, and they probably pay her pennies on the dollar to do it. She probably does it out of the goodness of her heart. These are good salt-of-the-earth people. They are hard-working small business owners. It is a multi-generational. I spent Sunday morning taping that video that some of you may have seen with that family. The husband, the wife, and the son there every single day making it work because that's what they love and that's what they want to do. You're talking about combined, and you heard the representative from the FSBOA mention it, you're talking about over 10,000 hardworking Floridians that either directly or indirectly depend on the standardbred industry. There was some talk about economic impact. Now, we may disagree, but my understanding is that $2.7 billion number is for all of horse racing in Florida. So at least some portion of that, and I'm certainly no math expert for folks that know me, that's why I went to law school, some portion of that, let's just say $700 million of the $2.7 billion is the economic impact of standardbred racing in this state. Some would say that it's a dying industry. I find that hard to believe. As a matter of fact, you heard the numbers earlier. In just 108 days that ended 2 weeks ago, this racing season in Florida, standardbred racing season in Florida, they amassed $81 million. That's a 57-year record for harness racing in Florida. The next closest was $67 million, and that was several years ago. So while there's only one track and it happens to be located in Broward, members, this isn't a Broward issue. I've spoken to a number of you, and I am so thankful for the conversation that we've had and the support that I've received on this note, because this isn't just a Broward issue. You're talking about at least 65 farms and 7 training facilities statewide. The largest training facility in North America is in Chair Renner's district. There was a question earlier about profitability. We've already heard some of the numbers, right? And if they're profitable, then we can decouple them, because if they're making money, then nobody in their right mind is going to do away with them. Well, if that's the case, then why has the only operator in Florida filed an application to redevelop the property without a racetrack? Folks, I'm not going to delve into the long history here, but the horsemen and horsewomen in the standardbred industry have gotten the short end of the stick for 15 years. My hope is that Representative Tuck's good amendment will be considered at a later point down the road, and that amendment would have added back standardbreds and put us with the thoroughbreds as the two recognized racing entities that need to be protected because of their import to Florida. I want to thank the bill sponsor, because I've bugged him all day and yesterday and the day before that, and I'm going to continue to do so, folks, because this is too important to too many Floridians. If we go ahead with the bill as written and pass it through this body, you are saying that a Nevada-based company and their interests are more important than the 10,000 Floridians here in this state. And that's unconscionable to me. Members, let's not pick winners and losers. Please stand with me and these families. I'm going to vote up today with the understanding that that language is to be considered and hopefully added for the reasons I've already raised. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Daley. Additional debate. Representative from Lee County, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Don't Cape Coral. You call everybody else a city, but you can't call. No.
You're lucky you're recognized.
I appreciate it, Mr. Chair. I don't come from an area that has, you know, has horses. I mean, I don't have a horse in this race, no pun intended. And but as somebody kind of looking outside in, I've talked to the industry, talked to a lot of folks, and I mean, it's a government created, it's government created, it's government regulated. And when you start to pull pieces apart, then it's kind of picking winners and losers in it. So I'm up on it. Today, I talked to the sponsors. I really appreciate the conversation. Good back and forth. I hope to see it, the amendment in there as well. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to have a conversation. Thank you.
Additional debate. Representative from West Palm Beach, you recognize.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate the remarks I've heard today. A lot of passion. I too have some passion for the fact that I thank you for the Chair Latvala for this good bill, and I thank you because it's righting some wrongs. To me, it was just unbelievable as an agricultural person that the state of Florida's voters decided to eliminate dog racing because they thought the dogs were being unfairly treated. That's like saying LeBron James is unfairly treated, being an NBA athlete. Of course they're not being mistreated. So I'm really thankful for this bill, and I thank you that it does right some wrongs by helping the paramutuals to continue to exist, and I think that's very important. A little side bet, Mr. Chair. I am a little disappointed. I was looking to support Representative Davis and her two amendments. I think it's important that we as a body, next session, look into what we can do to help the Florida Council on Compulsive Gambling. If we are going to not expand gambling's footprint, but expand the revenue that we receive from gambling, it's only reasonable that we make sure that, A, we do not sweep this trust fund, the Parimutuel Wagering Trust Fund. Members, we just stood up this year in session and said we're not going to sweep Sadowski anymore. We're going to change how we do it, but the money's going to stay in there and go the way it's going to go. And that's good for Sadowski, and it's good for the other two programs, resiliency and clean water and sewage treatment grants. So we have stood up to say we are not going to continue to sweep trust funds, and we need to make sure we don't do this going forward. And even though my own paramutual is not in favor of Representative Davis's amendment, I think that's something with good conscience that we're going to have to consider. And by doing it at 0.3%, if you're not doing slots, you're maybe making less revenue, but you're also not paying $250,000 per paramutual site. So I think we need to move forward next year and stand up and make sure that we mitigate what we know is coming, more compulsive gamblers. Thank you, Chair.
Representative from Okaloosa County, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Eyes in the back of your head. Walton County is always watching us.
You have all the time you'd like.
I don't think that's what Chair McLean thinks. But anyway, I won't say a lot. I don't usually talk in committee meetings. I like to listen and make a decision. But I am going to be up on this bill, and I appreciate very much Chair Robinson and Chair Latvala coming to talk to me about it, and I appreciate their efforts. I think this is generally a good bill. My only concern ever was on how harness racing was going to be treated, standard bred horses. As some of you may know, I'm from Kentucky, from Central Kentucky, the real thoroughbred capital of the world. We're the... In my hometown, we have Keeneland Racetrack, and we have the Big Red Mile for harness racing. And it just, I was concerned that the two types of racing were treated separately, differently. I understand that may be addressed soon, but I'm going to be up on the bill today, and I appreciate you all taking the time to come talk to me.
Okay. Seeing no
Mr.
further.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative from Marion County, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's just like an outsider to come in and try to make a big claim about what happens in their state. But Marion County is the horse capital of the world. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the clarification. I wish you're grateful that General Maney moved to Florida from Kentucky. Glad to have you. So are the folks in Shalimar. Any additional debate? No further debate. Okay. The representatives from Clearwater and Bradenton, you are welcome to close.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to start out by thanking my co-prime sponsor, Representative Robinson, who's been a wonderful partner carrying this bill last couple days. He truly is the brains behind the operation and any of the bad parts of the bill that y'all don't like were his doing. And really, since Representative Daley said that he was going to vote up on it, I should just shut up and close. But I do have a couple short comments, and that is... Representative Daley and Representative Tuck and others, Representative Maney had this concern, is that we are looking into the standard bred issue and putting that back together. Really the only reason why there was not an amendment today on that issue was members of this committee would have had a 40-page amendment to look over literally during the meeting. It was more based on time and not substance of the amendment. And so we will look at that as this bill moves forward. And y'all have my commitment. My good friend from Duval, you have my commitment on your issue. I have one more session here. And I'm going to be looking for stuff to do next year. And I do want to work with you on compulsive gambling because as some of these bills, develop and become law of the land, that is something that we need to look into. And you have my commitment to work on that with you. But as y'all saw today with the several amendments that we adopted, this is a product that will be changed. It's not a finite product. And so if y'all have concerns, please let myself or Chair Robinson know as this bill moves forward. But I would appreciate your favorable support today. Thank you.
Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Representatives Bartleman?
No.
Busada Cabrera?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Davis?
No.
Gia Lombardo?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Hart?
No.
Killebrew?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
No.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
Nope.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
The bill has passed 13 yeas, 5 nays.
Members, by your vote, show the bill favorably, will be favorably reported. I think that's gonna do it. We were able to finish 4 hours worth of work in 90 minutes, so congratulations. We'll, with no other business here before the committee, Chair Latvala moves that we rise, show that done with no objection.
Thank you, Mr.